This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with CFI Bootcamp, and this is the video podcast for the newsletter. So we do this newsletter about once a month, and I do a video podcast so that you can either hear it in audio or you can hear it or watch it in video if you want. And so the topics today, I've got two of them for you, and you also can get a paper copy or a electronic copy or paper, I guess you could call it paper copy, electronic copy of the newsletter by going to our website, and it's just signing up for it. So you can get that delivered to you every month, and it's always chock full of really good things because it's timely stuff. So this first thing we're going to talk about today is getting the MEI or CFII as an initial flight instructor certificate. Is that a good or bad idea? You may not even known that you could do that. So we'll talk about that for a second. And then the second topic is the difference between a lesson plan and a pre-flight briefing. This is another big disconnect in our industry, and I wanted to sort of try to set the record straight there and give you some real practical advice about how to do certain things. That's kind of what we're going to work on today. So the first thing we'll talk about is getting the MEI or the CFII as an initial flight instructor certificate. So I don't know if you know this, but you don't have to do your initial flight instructor certificate as airplane single engine. That's what most people do. And the reason they do it is because it's the quickest way to get a job, right? No one really hires CFIIs only or MEIs only. It's a very rare thing that would happen. So typically the traditional path is once you finish your commercial and instrument rating, then you would start training for the CFI. The difficulty in that is that there's a lot of information that has to be understood and mastered. And at CFI Bootcamp, I can tell you my personal experience with it is that most people have a plastic card that says commercial pilot, but they don't really have the aeronautical knowledge that they need to go with it. And the reason that they don't, a lot of times, is they kind of knew it was going to be on the test. And, you know, so the knowledge test really didn't test anything. It's just a memorization thing, or Shepherd Air would never exist if that were the case, right? If it really tested things and you really had to understand the content. So that's one thing. The second thing is then, if you kind of know what's usually tested by a particular DP, then maybe that's what you study for. Maybe that's the approach. Now, not all people. I wouldn't say all people like that. We do find this quite often, that there's holes in the aeronautical knowledge. And so then what happens is now you've got to attack the CFI thing, because now you're probably going to be tested on some of these technical subject areas. And you may know what you're going to be tested on, maybe not, but there's a lot of wiggle room in that test. So says the examiner shall select task M and at least one other task, and you don't know what the other task is. You know M is going to be for sure. So you really have to do it all, and then that's one thing. And so now you have to get your aeronautical knowledge up there. So then that usually means, traditionally, we don't do it at CFI Bootcamp this way, but traditionally what happens is it means that you're going to be writing your own lesson plans. And the reason you're writing your own lesson plans isn't because they don't exist out in the world, because we have them and other people have them, and ours have been tested over, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students, so we know they're right and they work. But the reason you have to do your own at some places is because the aeronautical knowledge isn't there. And so when you start writing a lesson plan, you begin recognizing what you don't know. And so then that forces you to kind of do it. The issue with that is it just takes forever. It can take you 6-9 months to do such thing, and it's tedious and very boring, and it's like, oh, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel and all that. So what we do instead, we put you through our online course, which takes care of the aeronautical knowledge side, and then you teach from our lesson plans. We do have to show you how to make them, of course. But so that's one thing. But that's why I wasn't really want to talk about that. And what I really want to talk about was that traditionally, if you got a regular CFI and you went through and you passed all of the tests, then what you'd be able to do is you'd be able to train student pilots, you'd be able to solo students, you'd be able to do training for recreational sport, commercial certificates, certain flight instructor certificates, additional ratings until you had 2 years. And they would allow you to conduct a flight review, like a solo student who doesn't hold the category class, so like a rotorcraft airplane pilot. You'd also be able to endorse people for the practical test, check ride, and also for any required knowledge tests. So that's kind of quite a lot you can do there, right? It's what most flight schools need to do. So that's a traditional route. And so the training, like I said, is very comprehensive, and sometimes the content's pretty deep. In addition to all the technical subject areas like airspace, systems, regulations, endorsements, you know, aeromedical, aerodynamics, all that kind of stuff, there's also two additional large content areas that need to be mastered. And the first is the one most pilots just, you know, put their head in their hands in their head and go like, oh my God. It's called the fundamentals of instructing. It's really funny because students say weird things like they say the FOIs, So that's the fundamentals of instructings. Is that what it means? No, there's no FOIs, right? There's the fundamentals of instructing, or the FOI, which is what the test is called. The reason it's called the FOI is because the knowledge test is called FOI. So the actual book that all this information is contained in is the Aviation Instructor's Handbook, which is fairly recent now. But anyway, this stuff has to be mastered, and essentially it's practical psychology, kind of old, somewhat outdated, but it's there, along with some teaching skills, how to teach certain things, and how to build up lesson plan. There's also techniques of flight instruction in there, risk management, and a few other things. So this is a whole area. The only thing that's familiar to you is the risk management section. And the book isn't thin. You know, it's on the order of an inch thick, not quite that thick, but 3/4. I think it's about 200 and some pages, or 300, about that. And so this content is tedious, and it's voluminous, to say the least. And you have no experience in it, probably, unless you have a background in either teaching or psychology. So this is all new to you. You've never been tested, never seen it before on any aviation test, and people don't like it because it's not something they know or don't feel they need to be tested on, but it's there, and it's big. So it's a behemoth of a thing, right? And then the other thing that's there is, now once you've sort of mastered some of that, now you've got to be able to teach, right? So it's a teaching test. So you got to be able to teach from and develop from lesson plans. So you have to develop one, maybe, right, maybe on the test, who knows? Teach using lesson plans that already exist. So those are both essential skills, because what we do at CFI Bootcamp is we give you a lesson plan on something you've never heard of. That's an aviation-related thing. So you can't go get something and template it. You have to actually do it. You follow our template. And then the second one we give you is we have you also do something like that you would need to do a lesson plan on, because there are certain things you need to maybe create ones. For example, at our Miami location, it's in Opa-locka, and it's a big airport. You know, it's a big business jet airport, and the taxiway structure is quite complex. And there's three runways. One goes kind of diagonally, and sometimes you're cleared to the run-up area, not to the runway. And then you have to get another clearance to go to the runway. They send you to a runway where you're not really going to be used except for takeoff. They clear you on this runway 1-2, and then they put you in the right pattern for runway 9 right. So it's just a way to get you off the ground quicker and get you out of everybody's hair. Then you have to taxi and cross the runway, all this stuff. So they kind of saves a bit of time, but it takes a bit of a briefing to be able to do it. So there's a perfect example of where you'd create a lesson plan, or maybe an avionics package that's just come out, or one that you're going to teach. Like, we have our airplanes have 2 G5s and Garmin 530s, and so we have to teach you how to use a G5, and so that's a great place for a lesson plan. So anyway, these are places where you do, but other places, you know, we've been teaching flying, like I say, for more than 100 years, way more than 100 years, and we've already done this. We've already created all the lesson plans we need to teach someone how to fly. So those already exist, and so there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. It's the same if you teach in any high school or college and you want to teach the class. Chances are, if that class has been taught before, there are lesson plans already there. And you just look at them and say, okay, I can use these and teach from them, and you start teaching from them. That's kind of how it works. So you need all those skills, and that's kind of the way it goes. If you teach at a big 141 school, you'll find out that they will have standardization for you, how you teach things, what you need to show, and then before each lesson will come out, sort of like a pre-flight briefing, we'll call it here in a second. And that'll be sort of like that. So this is the problem, is we've got all this to master in addition to all those technical subject areas. And in addition to another kind of behemoth or monster in the CFI training program is regulations and endorsements. It's like, okay, how do I identify training required to do something? How do I identify what endorsements are required to make sure I didn't miss anything? And then the third thing is to see what's going to be tested from the ACS. It's the whole thing, or is it part of it, or because it's additional rating? What is it? So there's all that to master, right? We do that with scenarios. And so then what this does is it can be for some people that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, right? And if you're in that situation, you understand what I'm talking about. Because a lot of times you know that you have to be a flight instructor for more than 2 years and have more than 200 hours of dual given. Traditionally, to be able to do initial CFIs. There's some exceptions to that, but it's in 141 schools. But anyway, but the issue is that CFI who's training you, or if you go to find, has only been basically soloing students and doing private pilots, maybe the occasional commercial pilot. So they really don't know the fundamentals of instructing any longer. They don't really, maybe, because maybe they're at a 141 school and they don't ever teach any ground. Then maybe they really don't understand the aerodynamics as well as they need to. So the teaching part is probably there. Their ability to do it, deliver a lesson, is there. But that's the kind of the caliber And that's nothing wrong with that. It's just they're not good for teaching flight instructors, right? Flight instructor needs to be teaching other CFIs and need to kind of master all that. And be, like for me, I have the fundamental instructing down pretty well. If you ask, we ask questions about it, I could answer the whole, you know, whatever you need, right? I know that material pretty well, but it's not everybody who would say that. But if I were just teaching private pilot, student pilot, I wouldn't need that. That's stuff I use because I've known it before and I integrated it into the way I teach. So I don't have to memorize it anymore or know certain things. So that's it. So then what we can do then is say that, and this again, for this fundamentals instructing, the FOI thing, everybody always asks, how is it going to be tested? How will it be tested? How will it be tested? Well, all this stuff depends on the DPE. Some of them, the way they test it is by, like we have one DPE gives you a lesson to do. It's all based on across country. And the FOI is completely tested by listening to you present the lesson, teach the lesson, and as the day goes through to see that they can sign off and say, okay, I'll look at all the elements in the fundamentals instructor and see if they demonstrated their ability to know that or couldn't have done it unless they knew it. And there'd be maybe some one-off questions maybe if that wasn't the case. But that's one. I think that's the best way. The second way is just to go through every single line item, line by line, and ask questions about it, which is, I would say, the most common way, which means that you've got a lot to memorize and a lot to do, right, in order to get through a test like that. And that's just one component of it, right? So not to scare you, but that's how it is. So some people, you know, at our place, we have mind maps of every chapter, and we have worksheets, little things to help you put place together. We've got some flashcard things, electronic flashcards. We've got a bunch of stuff that sort of eases the pain, right, so to speak. But anyway, and then there's the class itself. So we teach it to you again from the online course, and we do a sort of synoptic view of the of each of the chapters and go through that yet. So that's enough, and it gives you the information you need. But there's another way, which is what we're sort of on about in this particular article, and it's you can do your initial CFI as an MEI, multi-engine instructor, or you can do it as a CFII, instrument airplane instructor. And then what you've got there is you've got a situation where now you still have the FOI to cover. Every single case, the initial has to be covered with the FOI. So that's gotta be on the check ride, right? But the technical subject areas are a lot shorter. So if you just finished the multi-engine rating, it may make sense to do your MEI first. It may make sense because that information is fresh in your head. And then the content is a lot smaller. So the regulations and endorsement section would be smaller. Because you can't do everything. There are many things you cannot do as an MEI that you can do as airplane single engine, right? And then the sections, other sections, technical subject areas can be small. The other one to do is the CFII. You could do the instrument instructor first, and then it's basically all the instrument stuff. There's nothing in there about soloing a student. There's none of that's required. There's nothing to do with the flight review because you wouldn't have the authorization to do that. So that one probably, I would say, is probably the it depends, either the MEI or the FOI. And then what you do then after that's finished is you would do your airplane single engine part, the CFI, we call CFI in the trade, as an additional rating. And then you'd have to know all the other stuff, but you wouldn't be tested again on the FOI and some of the other things. So you'd be like, okay, well, this might be an easier pill to choke down, so to speak. So that's what that is. So it may seem, if you get overwhelmed in your flight training for flight instructor, you may want to switch that up and just do the double I first or the MEI first. It's something to think about. And I wanted to put it out to you so that you'd know that you could actually do it. Because I've had many instructors, and especially in the class, when I bring this up, they don't recognize that they can do this as one of those ratings as an initial. And it might have been a better idea. Usually we catch that before they show up, but not always. So there's that. So that's what I would say about that. And so in either way, our company provides whatever training. All we do is flight instructor training. So that's what we know, and that's what we live and breathe. So we kind of know that, and that's why I wrote the article for you. So now you know it too. The second article we're going to talk about is the difference between a lesson plan and a pre-flight briefing. So there's a really big disconnect in our industry when we start talking about lesson plans that we're creating for a check ride and lesson plans we're actually going to use in the field. And it wouldn't seem like it would be any disconnect, but there is. So let me explain. So the lesson plans that we provide and that you maybe create on your own or you purchased or whatever, what those are a comprehensive set of lesson plans to teach a student that basically has no real aeronautical knowledge yet. Basically, you're embedding the aeronautical knowledge into the lesson plan or at the minimum, reviewing it So it means that this lesson plan, when you deliver it on the practical test, it shows two things. Number one, it shows that you can prepare and teach a lesson on whatever they gave you. That shows that. So that's the teaching part. That's a good part. The second thing, it shows that you have the aeronautical knowledge because it's really comprehensive and included, like for steep turns, maybe you talked about the aerodynamics of a turn and the and load factor, and you talked about all these things and showed a bunch of images and explained all those. So you kind of embellish it a little bit for the test because you want the examiner not to have any question about your ability to deliver the lesson. But in a real lesson, it's typically not how we do it. It would be that way if the student had no reading done, didn't look at any online videos or training videos of any kind, or didn't attend a ground school. Now, if they've done that, attended a ground school or done those things, then our lessons really become more like what we call pre-flight briefings. And this is essentially the same thing a Part 141 school does every time. So if you've been to Part 141 school, you know it kind of goes like this, that you attend a formal ground school sometime. Because you have to. It's in the syllabus that way for most flight schools. And then you start flight training either concurrently with that or you do it after the ground school is over. And it's usually 35 hours, so it's pretty long. And it covers, you know, everything in the syllabus. It's a lot. And then what you do is a flight school owner, for example, 141 school owner, I'm not interested in having our line CFIs do anything other than fly. I don't want them teaching ground schools. I don't want them doing anything because I need to give them six students, and I need those six students to be turned over every couple months with some other kind of certificate in their hand. And so I'll use the academics department or people who don't have medicals but who know the academic content very well or don't want to fly anymore, like me. You know, I don't want to fly. It becomes a grind. It becomes a real job, and it's uncomfortable sometimes with the hot weather, cold weather, and all the things I could say about it. And if you need time, then you don't care about those things. But when you don't need any time anymore, then you don't really care about those things, right? So there's that. So a big 141 school is I just want you to fly all the time. And so therefore, you do need to give a pre-flight briefing. And that's going to be, how do we do this maneuver in this airplane? That's basically what it is. Why are we doing it? Number one, it's in a syllabus, it's on the test. Okay, whatever the reasons are. And it wants to develop the skill so we can control this machine. Right, and then here's what we're gonna do, and here's how we do it, right? And so that takes about sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, but it doesn't take very long to get it done. And then that way the instructor has a 2-hour block for the student. So there's the pre-flight, which is done ahead of time. Then there's the pre-flight briefing, 5 to 10 minutes, and then for each maneuver. So if we have 3 maneuvers, it might take 15 minutes or 20 minutes or something like that. And then out to the airplane we go, we do it, come back, critique the student, and give them the post-flight briefing. So the whole thing is like 2.5 hours, that's it, right? If we have to teach the ground along with it, let's say we use our lesson plan, like steep turns lesson plan that we wrote or that you've written. And we have to do 3 lesson plans, steep turns, slow flight, stalls, and we have to give those lessons. You know, it could take us 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or who knows how long to give those. And so that before we go fly. And that's like 60 to 90 minutes of the student listening to us with all this detail, right? Us, because they don't have any real aeronautical knowledge, so we have to teach it all to them. At the same time, we're giving the lesson, right? And then, so there's that, and that just takes too long. So that's why you go into any flight school, Part 61 flight school, you rarely see, if ever, see a flight instructor with their lesson plans they created for the check ride with them open. Typically, they don't use them. Or if they do, they figure out, oh, these aren't really working in this case. It's not really working for me. Because when the student is bored, right? And also their mind starts to wander, and they start thinking about fantasizing about other things, right? So before you go fly, you need to have pre-flight briefings that are very succinct, right? And very airplane-centric or centered around how you're going to do it in this airplane. So that's really what you want. So that's the difference. Now, if you have a student who doesn't do any ground, doesn't do any sign reading, then you're going to have to give them the comprehensive lesson. And maybe that's what you do on one day and you fly and give them a pre-flight briefing some other day. Maybe that's what you do. But the idea there is there's a difference between a full lesson that you're going to do from a lesson plan and a pre-flight briefing. So what can you do about it? I guess that would be that. So to talk more about it. So, well, you could do this. You could use your lesson plan and you could, as you're teaching it, you could like, okay, what are the points I need to brief? The student's already read in the airplane flying handbook about the steep turn. They have already taken an online course for the aerodynamics, right? So then, and they've uh, they've done whatever. So in that case, you can use your lesson plan to sort of strip off the stuff that you know they've done, which could work, right? Or you could make your own, like, pre-flight briefing. That's one thing you could do. That would work for you. So that's one thing you could do. We also have a product called Teach Brief Fly that is probably about 6 months old. And I wrote it in this way. I wrote it in three parts. It's a book that's in three parts. So the first part, and you can model your own thing this way if you're thinking about it. So the first part is that's a comprehensive set of lesson plans that you would use on a check ride, or that's like kind of one you'd use for that, or some students who don't have any ground training. So that's the first part. So all the lesson plans are there, all the technical subject areas and all the maneuvers. Then the second part to that book is the pre-flight briefings. So what I did was I took a mock-up of a whiteboard, and then I put how to do the maneuver, or the points you want to bring out to the student on the left-hand side of the board, and on the right-hand side were sketches that I actually drew that I'm not an artist, so I know you can draw them too, and I just had an illustrator sort of make them better. So you could project that, you could show it to the student, you could just use it yourself and write on a whiteboard wherever you wanted to, but that kind of trims down everything for you, and it's for every maneuver is in there. So that's that. And then the third part of that book, which I really didn't touch on in this article, was one of the things that students used to say to us is that during training was, I feel like I can deliver a lesson now for pretty much on anything, but I don't know what to say in the airplane. And when I get there, I'm all tongue-tied. I don't know what to do. And so in that particular case, I wrote the other section of the book is what to say in the airplane while you're demonstrating every maneuver. It's sort of like the equivalent of English. In England, there's something called the pattern manual, which is precisely what I said. Well, we don't have it in this country, so I just wrote it. So that's part of Teach Brief Fly. Then there's a companion guide to Teach Brief Fly, which is for the student. It tells them what to read in either the PHAC, Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Launch, or the Airplane Flying Handbook, and then gives them an introduction to that subject in my own words, and then there's a quiz or a workbook exercise, something to do. So when the student comes in, you know not what you're going to do and what you're going to say, whether you need to give the comprehensive briefing, whether you need to give just a pre-flight briefing, and then you also know what you're going to say in the airplane. Then you also know the student did the work. So you kind of have a good chance of some success today at making sure the student's prepared. If they're not prepared, you'll know because they haven't finished it, right? And that's a point that you can bring up with the chief pilot, or you can bring, if it happens plenty of times or enough times, or whoever the, or them. You can tell the student, well, you're not doing the work, so the result's not going to be as good. Anyway, that's the recap, sort of the articles that are in the newsletter. And if you want to say the electronic version of that, just go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, and subscribe to the newsletter. So the top section is a place to subscribe to the newsletter, and then you'll get it. And you'll get a link, or you get it to your email every month. It's once a month. And also, don't forget that we also have the Power Hour, which is single subjects, 1 hour deep dives into some content every Saturday at noon Eastern to 1 Eastern, and except for certain holidays. And so those you can opt in at the website. The bottom of every page is a red bar, and at the bottom of that red bar, you click onto it, it puts you onto that email list, so you get reminders of when and what's going to be talked about during that time. And those are really well received. Usually between 60 and 120 people will attend that live. Okay, and the last thing we do is a podcast every 2 weeks called Flight Training the Way I See It. And it has a lot of good content in there. Like, for example, last time we discussed the new Airplane Flying Handbook, what's changed, what's in it. And then we also discussed the ACS as being unfrozen now and could be released at any time under certain FAA provisions. So anyway, we talked about that. So you can get those on anywhere you get a podcast. You can hear Flight Training the Way I See It. Okay, that's it for this time. We'll see you next month on the video podcast or audio podcast of the newsletter. This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinions.